welcome into the So Rare Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on So Rare. Today to talk about insanity when it comes to So Rare, probably. We'll get into all of that. To be honest, I had the title of the show in my head before I decided what I wanted to talk about. And so now I might like force what I'm trying to say into the title, which is the definition of insanity. I don't know. We'll see. Thanks everyone for coming in. Really appreciate everybody spending their Friday evening, afternoon, morning here. So seriously, thank you very much. Toby, insanity might be me captaining Kaigo once again. Nixon said the message above is blasphemy. Tsunamoto will score 100 and I'll be at the stadium to see it. That'll be fun. And SR Monkey joining them on the podium. Congrats, SR Monkey. I feel like it's been a minute since you've been here. Listen to last week's show and made me feel the need to thin my ridiculous gallery. I'll get around to it one day. Yeah. I would never call your gallery ridiculous, but man, it's a lot of cards. Arthur, what's up? Tough Turn here says, I feel attacked by this title and video description. It's funny when I have like titles kind of like that, or it's you're doing this wrong, whatever. And like the number of people are like, who like feel it. And they're like, oh, that he's talking about me. Maybe I'm talking about you, Tough Turn. I don't know, but we'll see. Jakob, what's up? Shaforkel. Definition of insanity is have the best players on the platform and keep mixing them in different teams and never hit all players in the same team week after week. Yeah, that's the game. That's the game. Sam D, what's up? Sora need a threshold where you win boxes. Sure. Sora Malta, a few weeks holiday back to the live shows. Welcome back. Almost caught up on all the past live stream. Oh, no, the past stream. Excuse me. Thank you for doing that. Welcome back. It's probably not. Do you get like welcome back after holidays? Because like obviously you would rather still be on holiday. Viva La Rami from Alex Wilson. Go Parrot Press. What's up? Vita Insanity sending my wolf stack over and over again, expecting to finish first at some point. It might happen. It just might take 20 years. It's Wilson. Hello. I actually saw It's Wilson's Let's Go with the fire emoji right when I hit the go live button, or maybe it was just before. And I was like, oh yeah, let's go. That's it. So Rare Scout, what's up? Surface, good morning. Mike Bassin, it's Friday, it's 5 p.m. It's crazy time. I don't think we get that crazy here. Malky, what's up? David Alves, insanity and Friday. It's a dangerous mix. Yeah. Jevsy, I watched these in 1.5 speed, but stopped by to say hi. I didn't even know you could watch YouTube on 1.5 speed, but welcome to the, well, not welcome. Gator should be welcoming you to the Psycho Club. But anyway, there it is. Welcome back. Here's 274 emails. Yeah, that's right. Rami started at the 8. All right, let's go. And Matthew saw some nice birds today. See, everything's looking up. Let's go. Let's go. So the insanity thing was kind of a continuation of this discussion that I've had. It started last week. Chani, what's up? Thanks for coming in. About me possibly running the same lineups or the same players every week. And I think I did a poor job explaining what the concept actually was. And so I'll go into it a little bit more with the preface again that I don't know if it's a good idea or not. And that was kind of the point of the beginning of Sober Andrews yesterday was, and before that, we've talked on this channel before, Sean and I, PSU fans too, about how one of the best skills for any Sober manager is to recognize when your success is, I don't want to say valid, but like, or if something goes bad, like, you know, that it was either bad strategy or just unlucky. And on the flip side, if you have success, whether it's because you did well in what you did or you got lucky. And this strategy thing, implementing a new strategy and how long it takes, I think there's a possibility that you could get through a number of rough patches with this idea and it just doesn't work in the time frame that you gave it. And maybe that means it's bad, but maybe it doesn't actually mean that. Vita said, I tried to watch an episode with Quinny on 1.5 speed. Didn't work out well for me. That's bold. Speaking of Remy is very much part of the insanity. He is. He is a poster boy of my insanity, of this idea of basically just trying to trim my gallery. I think that's really what it comes down to. And so for those of you who somehow don't know what I'm talking about, it's basically the idea to run the same lineups in super rare, rare, and limited. I think the more I ponder it, the less I'll do limited as well. So the idea is like, I have a number of cards, like we all do. I have a big gallery of cards, but I have basically every player in every scarcity that I play. And for me, it would be rare and super rare. And so the idea would be just my Challenger's super rare lineup will be the exact same as my Challenger rare lineup each game week. And that's not to say it's the same five cards every game week, but it would be the same five super rare cards in a specific game week and then the same five in rare, same players basically. And that feels a little insane. And I was talking to Andy about it, Black, and he was like, when it goes bad, it's just so bad that he wouldn't want to do it. And he was saying how he likes to have just, you know, he enters everything that he can. And that's what he likes, so that like one lineup doesn't kill everything. And that's not the way I was really looking at it. I wasn't looking at, you know, three of the same super rare lineups and then the three same lineups in rare each game week. Like it's still spread out and I still will have different lineups every game week. But it is kind of just being able to take my whole gallery and just say, instead of having 300 players represented amongst the three scarcities that I play, maybe it's 100 and I have three, you know, one of each scarcity. And I'm just not sure where on the level of insanity it is, because I've convinced myself that I wouldn't be expecting the same outcome every week. And so how could it be insane? Right? Skosmo, what's up? What do you got here? I think there's merit to the idea since we went to single scarcity, they're just separate games. Yeah, it could be. I think the biggest thing that I'm grappling with is a lineup of five cards that I think are really good in super rare may not be as competitive in rare. And so So that's the problem. Skosmo said, if you play one scarcity with a gallery of 40 players to fill the variable lineups, you're just extrapolating that across the other scarcities for more tournaments. Yeah, so that's the idea. If I had 40 players, I would take the five best that I could and put that in my best rare lineup and then put that in my best super rare lineup. And then next week, maybe it's five different players, but I play those five in rare and those five in super rare. I don't think I would do like multiple of the same lineups in the same scarcity. That feels super insane. Mike said, I think I'm up to three with Petroli, Osipenko, and Baumgartner in same lineups in limited and rare, 60% of the strategy applied. Yeah, I think I played Petroli and Baumgartner in the same lineup this week, Mike. Are we Baumgartner and Petroli bros? I'm fairly certain I did it. Did we get the lineup? Oh, we do have them in. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Let's go. This is actually my favorite lineup of the week, but I'm very upset that Douglas Santos was suspended. But here you go, Mike. Petroli Baumgartner. Let's go. Let's go. RG11, hey, Laird, great to be here. Thank you for coming, RG11. Haven't we had the same conversation for two shows in a row now? I'm not quite having that the same conversation. I was just kind of explaining to anybody who hasn't been up to date on what I'm doing here. Agent Cooper, this time next year, Laird will have a Midgeland unique collection. I'm calling it now Super Insanity or Insanely Super Idea. That sounds like super insanity, but that's a fun idea. It's expensive, though. Even for how cheap prices are, it's expensive. Skosmo said the argument for, quote, killing your whole game week, unquote, is kind of moot if you countered with the idea of only playing one scarcity. It would be the same outcome, except you just have higher investment and upside. So I have so many dead game weeks as it is now that I feel like being able to just consolidate the number of players I play would make it the death lineup, the death game weeks don't change all that often. I'll put it that way. But I don't know. I'll see what it is. But it does kind of throw me back to this idea that there are people who run the same kind of strategies every game week and just sort of expect it to work because it worked once. And part of that, I think, is our meaning the communities, like reliance on past data to make decisions for the future. And I realize that's kind of what you have to do because it's all we have. But I think that like the number of people who go back like, man, I bought this stack because over the last 20 game weeks, it would have won like 10 rewards. And I've said this on this channel before, but like you don't get those scores. You get the future scores. And so we do look at that data to figure out, you know, is this player good? Does he have good passing numbers in games they win and all this stuff? But expecting what previously happened to happen again is kind of lazy. And so when we just run the same lineups over and over, because I'm like, oh, I won a tier one with this last week. So it's a good lineup. And I was like, well, it was a good lineup last week. That doesn't mean it's a good lineup next week or ever again. And I think we need to do a better job of recognizing what we're doing and figuring out if the decisions that we are making for the future are too reliant on the past and not about what we think will happen in the future. Tony said, I personally realized one thing. Playing the champ region is not fun when you have all the meta cards. Rotation takes away half your game weeks. So I would argue those aren't meta cards then. But obviously, you're talking just about like the best cards. And yeah, that's sort of always been the case, right? That teams that play midweeks, particularly those that make like deep Champions League runs, and we see a lot of those teams also making like deep runs in their domestic cups, and they have to play those matches too. And I saw some stuff, Mikel Arteta's complaining about that now, FA Cup replays or something, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, that's kind of the give and take when you get these like elite cards that sometimes they need to rest. And at least from the champ region perspective, the hope is that you'll get that news before it happens. Obviously, it's a real kick in the stomach when you have like a great card and then you find out they're not playing this week. But it's, you know, it is what it is. Sorry, let me have Discord still open there. Toby said, condensing the gallery instead of building out depth is something I've been thinking about too lately with the fatigue of having twice the lineups to make. See, I don't want fewer lineups. I just want fewer decisions. And I think Nanzo is probably the one who would immediately be like, well, that's, you're just choosing laziness. And maybe I am. Maybe I am. Agent Cooper said, if I had a pound for every dead game week I've had, I'd be able to afford a unique. Yeah, that's it. This is also where I'm going. Thank you, Vita, for bringing this up. The best example was people lining up their best teams in divisions 2 and 3 because it looked easier based on one game week. And we're going to keep doing that. And I think we're going to justify it a little more now with the whole, you know, if you finish 200th in Division 4, it's the same as finishing 12th in Division 3 or whatever. I think MPen was the one who tweeted about it today. But yeah, we'll do it both sides. Oh, this did really well over the last 20 game weeks, so it must be good. Or this strategy smashed last week, so I'll make sure that I use it. Kato said a large number of users leave the game. What do you think is the reason? That reminds me of something else that I wanted to talk about. So if somebody could remind me, and please do a better job than Gator Guy of actually reminding me, but let me come back to this. This was at 12:11 my time. All right. Toby said divisions looked way more balanced this time when I looked at it when making lineups today. I didn't even look, to be honest. RG11, I'm considering selling Grimaldo Rare to bolster my Challenger gallery even more. Already have most Elite Challenger cards except MLS, but don't want to buy right now. So the tricky thing with Elite Challenger cards is that they can become middling champion cards very quickly. Grimaldo is the super exception, but if you're sitting there like, I have the Elite Challenger cards, like I have Joey Veerman. And it's like, well, when Joey Veerman now plays for Bournemouth, how do you feel about your Elite Challenger cards? Grimaldo Rare is an awesome card, though. Mike Bass and I fell foul of expecting past events to continue into the future with fun relations with my good... Oh, my goodness, Mike. That is not... I read that before. I probably should have. not that kind of show. Quinny, what's up? I thought this said driving the dog at first, but it's driving to walk the dog, which I get it now. SR Monkey said, I'm running 55 lineups this weekend. It takes 5 to 6 hours a week to do that. It's my least fun part of the week. I do like opening rewards, though. Yeah, so many reward or so many level ups, I'm sure. 55 seems like a lot, but I assume, I mean, how many cards are you up to here? Let's see. SR Monkey. 998 limited cards. Is that all? Yeah. Oh, 997. That seems like a lot. Seems like a lot. Chani, how many boxes are you ripping up in a bit? Like not. I don't think I got a single box this game week because I didn't play European Knights or whatever the hell they called it. RG11, I don't have any of the cards that are leaving, like Veerman, Gutrida, Hanko. I've avoided the most obvious ones, most likely to transfer, but it's exhausting to keep on top of rumors. I mean, if you say you have all the elite ones and you don't have those, I don't believe that you have all the elite ones. Agent Cooper, I wonder whether in August they'll increase the number of divisions to stretch all the managers out a bit. With multi-entry now here to stay, I like the idea of 10 divisions. Thoughts? That seems like way too many. I think the divisions are fine. I think before it started, or not even before it started, but like in game week, like the first game week that we had the divisions, everyone was like, it's going to take some time to level out. And then when it didn't level out in one game week, we were all like, divisions are broken. But like, this is the period where we have to figure it out. And it's still going. Like I had in contenders, maybe what I forget what it was, but in like one of them, I had one division one and two in division two. And that seemed to make sense. Challengers, I think it was Challenger Rare, maybe. I don't know. But I think it's working itself out, and it needs to happen now because this is where all of the cards are in play. RG11 said, well, I do if those guys are going to move on. The ones that will remain in Challenger except MLS. Again, I don't think we necessarily know who the elite cards are in Challenger next season, other than Midtjylland and Copenhagen. Grimaldo doesn't really fit my gallery because I don't have many champion cards. Yeah, no, I think selling Grimaldo, selling an elite card in division you do not play in makes sense. Like I have another number of European or champion cards that I really should get rid of. But I'm sentimental like Quinny, and it makes it really hard. Let me go back to this comment from Cato. So a large number of users leave the game. What do you think is the reason? So my first comment is, how many have left? And it feels like this is something, and I'm going to admit that I'm completely guilty of this. And I would argue most people that are on this channel with me are guilty of this, that we assume that the way we look at So Rare is how everyone looks at it. And so if we happen to know like two people who sold up, then we're like, everybody's selling up. I know so many people, or I know like one big gallery and they're out. And so like everyone's leaving. And when we were talking about the Chani-san, on average about 120 leaving while 500 join in the past 1.5 years. So again, like, we just don't know. I think that I saw the, I think somebody has, is it Sora or Base? One of them has that whole like managers who sold their last card. And it, that's just lazy to me. Like, we don't know why these people left. We also don't know how many cards they had before they left. Like, what if they had two and then they, like, I bought a card the other day from somebody who bought the card that I purchased from them. They bought it in January. It was the only card they ever bought. And then they sold it in April and left. Is that a user we should be worried about leaving? So, like, I don't think it's necessarily 500 joining. It's like 500 for every 120 that leave. And so I think we project our opinions on stats that we don't know. And it came up to, it comes up with Rivals a lot when everyone's like, is Rivals a good onboarding tool? And everyone's like, no. And it's like, well, how do you know? And you're like, well, I don't know anyone who's ever played Rivals and then bought a bunch of cards. And it's like, how many new users do you talk to? And the answer is always zero. And on the same side, I don't have that data. And so it is, I could be just as wrong. But like, we just don't know how many people played Rivals and were like, oh, I like this game, and started buying cards, or bought cards for Rivals and then started playing SO5, or, you know, like the pro competitions. And so I was going to say, I try to be just more optimistic about it, but I think I'm trying to be more realistic also. Major NFT said, I like Rivals and buy cards. I'm one, I guess. But Major NFT, did you start with Rivals, or were you on Sora already? Like, I think that's what we are trying to figure out. And the other part is, not everyone who, like, even in a perfect conversion world, like, you're never going to expect everyone, like, you're never going to get 100% conversion rate. And so if they were like, yeah, we had like 50,000 people play Rivals, you're not going to get 50,000 new people to play the pro game. Like, it's so absurdly unrealistic. And so this idea that it's not bringing any new users in, we just don't know. And so I was actually talking to Sean about it, and I said to him, I was like, if there were 50, or I think the number was 10, if there were 10,000 people who came to So Rare because of Rivals, like, they saw Rivals, they saw, oh, win tickets to whatever, win a jersey for playing in this Rivals match and doing these goofy things that you have to do. And they're like, oh, that's cool, I'll try it. If 10,000 people saw that and then started playing the pro competitions in Limited, Sean would have no idea. And that's not a knock on Sean. Like, it's just, I wouldn't know. And so this idea that everyone's like, it's not working. Like, we don't know it's not working. It might not be working, but we don't know it's not working. And so just like portraying that it's a failure, I think is unfair to So Rare and borderline irresponsible. And I don't think So Rare, the company, has any responsibility to tell us if it's working. Like, it's none of our business. Whether it is or not, like, you shouldn't be making decisions about your gallery based on how many people are converting from Rivals. Vita's saying the conversion rate for Rivals can't be worse than the global club game, which is probably true, because that was brutal. Sorry, I went off the... RG11 said, I'd say falling prices, negative sentiment, lack of trust with So Rare's creative team, maybe boredom, boxes, rewards being quite dull. So, like, who, again, we don't know how many people are leaving for this. I also think this negative sentiment thing is people who feel negatively about So Rare find other negative sentiment, and it helps them justify the negativity. But the amount of negativity is so much lower than reality. Excuse me, it's the The sentiment, the negative, the number of people who think everyone thinks we're going to shit is low. It's legitimately low. I'm not saying everybody's happy. Don't get me wrong. But, and like falling, I think negative sentiment comes from falling prices and people who don't understand how So Rare works and see falling prices like these, what was the one today? Halland. There was like a tweet about Halland's price being limited price being half of what it was 4 months ago. And it's like, well, you don't understand the game then. It was the new season Halland. It's like we had two gigantic contests that required new season cards. He was one of the best, most sought after cards on the platform. He was going to be expensive. And as utility went down, the price goes down. Like this, that is fundamentally how this game works. Shout out Mike Bastin for that one. And so just using that, prices are going down. Like, yes, in-season prices will always go down. I mean, not always. You know, guys, look, people change roles, whatever. But the idea is, as utility decreases, your card should not be as valuable. And that's why we see card prices go down. And then we get to a level where somebody says, okay, that's a good price for a classic card, and that's the price. Sorry, let me catch up here. RG said, but if there are new users, they aren't having any effect on the game whatsoever, at least in a positive market sentiment. I disagree. It may just be that the numbers aren't big enough, but it's just not, it's just not true. Vita said the number of managers with more than 10, 25, 50, and 100 cards keeps slowly rising for what it's worth. For anybody who wants to try this, to see that, you can just go to Sora Data and this view charts right here. Owner of it, I mean, yeah, the numbers growing. Obviously, we're not here anymore. We're here. We're, what is today? Is that the 19th? Yeah. So 102,000 users with 10 cards, which is 2,000 more than a month ago. Right? What did I say? Yeah. Which is 4,000, you know, 2,000 a month we're adding of people with 10 cards. Now, granted, it could just be people going from 9 to 10, but like that's, if people are leaving, more people are coming. And I think that's what you want. Nobody, anybody said some people are selling so they can play in season next year. Yep. I know a ton of people, it's like three, who are selling cards now and with the plan of holding that ETH, which is wild, or cash, whatever, to buy in-season cards next year. Which, you know what happens with them? Prices are going to be really high when the season starts. And then some of those people will complain when in April of 2025, they're not worth as much. And we're like, how much money have you won? And they're like, I don't know, $2,000. And we're like, yeah, stop worrying about how much your card is worth. Major NFT said Rivals was not part of my onboarding, but I get tempted to buy other cards. Yeah. So you don't count. You're out. Agent Cooper said, I feel like I need a full season with a new structure to see how good and fun So Rare is going forward. This time next year will be interesting to see what the sentiment is like. I think it's really, it's weird to me for everybody to have played this transition phase for a few weeks. Like what is it? Three weeks in? And they're just like, this is boring. I don't like it anymore. And I think part of it is because they haven't hit on a reward box, which like most people haven't, because 95% of people get level ups. But that's what this transition period is for. Do you want to keep playing this game? If the answer is no, then cool. Like I am more willing to accept people leaving So Rare because they just don't like the game anymore. Versus this whole, like, I don't know why prices are going down. All these people are angry, so now I'm angry. It's just, it's okay if you just don't like the game. Like, nobody's forcing you to play a game. But you're also sticking around because you're like, well, hopefully my money will go back up. And then while also saying it's never going back up. Major NFT said, but I did get friends playing Rivals with me, but my sample size is small. Everyone's is. They aren't bought in the same way. That yet. Like maybe they will keep playing rivals and at some point get five cards, or they get four outfield cards, four Premier League cards. And you're like, hey, if you just bought a limited whatever card, some goalie, you could play this other competition. And like, you already own the cards, and these competitions are free to play. You don't have to buy, you don't have to pay money to enter them. The cards that you already own for rivals can be played over here, and you can win both. You can win in rivals, like you can use your card in rivals, and you can use it in these pro competitions. Same time. Just don't list them. Agent Cooper said, having said that, and I forget what the one, that was the new season structure, waiting a year. Having said that, I'm never quitting SoRare. Even when all my cards are worthless, think I'd only sell my gallery if there was another boom where my cards became overpriced. Can't see that happening. So it's funny that you say that, because a lot of people say that they will sell when there's a boom. And then when the boom comes, they don't sell because they're like, oh, these could be worth a lot more. Shout out Jao Felix, 100 ETH. JVic said, I can't stand people hating on rivals. I know firsthand how appealing, addicting, and fun it is for many new users. See, JVic knows. Get all these new users playing rivals. I think it's okay. I also think it's okay to just play rivals. So that you're basically going to have three outcomes with people who play rivals, who are onboarded through rivals. A, they play it and they're just like, I don't like this, and they leave. B, they do like it and they play rivals forever. And then three, they like it, they keep playing rivals, and then they go play the pro competitions. Or maybe they stop playing rivals, I don't care. So maybe that's four. But we need to stop thinking of rivals as an onboarding tool that brings in billions of people right away, and that every single person that plays rivals will become a pro user. And also, it takes so much time to go from owning one limited card to owning 10 limited cards to owning 10 rare cards. Like, we're rushing. Like, our expectations for rivals onboarding is so rushed that we and for a lot of existing users, this idea of somebody playing rivals and then being like, yeah, let me just go buy five rares right now. Like, it's that outcome is so unlikely, but we're so far removed from being onboarded ourselves that the idea of, yeah, let me play rivals for a few weeks. And then, oh, maybe I will buy that card for this rivals competition. And then you need to do that five times, including once with a goalie before you start playing pro. Like, it's a long onboard, and that's okay. Like, there's never, I don't see a better way to like rush to onboard people. This game can be very simple and very complicated, and expecting people to play rivals and then like within a week or two be playing pro competitions is crazy. And like, we need to realize that. Vava said, you can also love the game, but zero intent on putting money in again. Yeah, absolutely. Major NFT said, I'm more bummed by MLB being a fail with SoRare. See, that's funny because Andy and I were talking about how we don't think it's a fail. It's just smaller. Like, I know, like, we referenced the two guys who we know who were competing in Rare Champion this week, and they finished 1-2. And they both said that they paid off, so that for Rare Champion, for those who don't play MLB, that's the cash competition this year. So it requires a number of new season cards. And they both said, it's April 19th today. And they said that where they finished paid off all of their new season cards. So they're free rolling for the rest of the season. So don't tell me baseball's bad, not worth it. But the numbers are smaller. That's all. That's all. Shaforko said, I'm winning cash every game week until now. Maybe your gallery is fail. Maybe that. Mike Bassin said, is that because it's harder to sell? What was the comment that preceded that about people not owning cards? I don't know. Skosmo, who I believe is a Rivals is not a good onboarding tool, Stan. But I could be wrong, Skosmo, if you want to correct me on that one. He said, the big difference between volume of people and quality of people, market-wise, it's good that we're still attracting net users, just need to incentivize those to be big spenders. So absolutely. So if you consider, and we'll just use like bigger numbers here, if there are 100,000 people who are playing Rivals, I think realistically, like if you could get 5,000 of those people like buying pro cards, that's good. And then you're probably getting like 50 of those to buy super rares. That's all. Vita said, people purposely not buying to hold cash for next season also indirectly contributes to prices going down by reducing demand. Yeah. A lot of factors to account for. It's not an easy game. So also, this is the time of year, like this is always the time of year that we see card prices falling. So offer volume history. So this was the Gary V boom, but like you see the end of the European season is always down, always. April 19th, yeah, down. January, let's see what this date is. March, so let's even call it February. Like this was a super outlier. But February 25th was that the peak? 27th, 1,000 ETH in a single day, it's crazy. But then like we get to February, and we go down, and last year we get to, actually, it was even before January. But like, even when you get to February, we go down. And now we're in February and we're going down. And the auction volume, I haven't looked in this page in forever. But like this time of year, people get out of cards to play other competitions. And obviously we have totally new competitions now. So maybe, but it's not that different. People love to sell cards when they have the lowest utility and buy cards when they have the highest utility. And right now, the European cards have the lowest utility, and MLS and J-League and K-League and all the summer leagues have the most. And that's why those cards are going up. Like this is what every single year this happens. And the numbers may be, you know, the decline may be greater in certain years because there are more people who are uninterested. And now we have a very clear path of this is why you want to buy new cards. Previously, it was the draw to buying to getting the new cards was only the 5% in-season bonus. And so there wasn't this huge demand for in-season cards. Like there were always some. Yes, the new season cards were always a little more. But if you were somebody who was mostly playing the European calendar and you're selling cards in like March and April, and then maybe buying MLS and J-League and K-League cards for the summer, and then you sell those in July so that you can start buying the European cards again. That's literally how the cycle has always worked. And that is what is happening right now. And whether there are more people selling or fewer people buying because they want to hold money so that they can buy the in-season cards when the new European season launches. And so we want to blame all of these other factors for why prices are going down when this is what happens. And I realize this is like in direct contradiction to what I said before of relying on old data to explain the current, but this is a trend that I don't think we can ignore. RG11 said, I think people would be really excited if we saw three or four more Pranksies join. I mean, obviously we want more users and those who spend what seems like infinite amounts of money. But also, Pranksy's not buying most of the cards that we all own. Like his effect on the market, their effect, sorry, doesn't really affect us unless you play super rare and unique. And yes, they have rares also. Like, I don't want to say they don't play them, but that's where they affect the market. And that most of that market, we don't touch it. Like I play super rares, and what Pranksy does has no effect on what happens to me. So Laney said, remember when we thought the Prem license was going to solve all of our problems? Come a long way since then. So it's funny because the Prem license, so when Prem was like the classic line with SoRare before they got the Premier League, and there were basically two opinions of what would, what would happen when they got the Prem. And it was basically the only outcome that everybody was would be comfortable with was millions of new users. And the number of people who were like, our cards are going to be worth so much when the Prem comes, because all these new users, they're going to want all of our cards. And so many people were like, when they get the Prem, I'm going to sell out, because like all these cards are going to be worth so much more because there are going to be so many more users. What they completely ignored that whole time is that people who love the Prem and then joined SoRare because of the Prem didn't want our cards because they weren't Prem cards. They were just the other ones that were here, Jupiler and Eredivisie and J-League. And if you love the Prem, you're not going to go buy those cards. So they're not going to go up. And so there was like this initial excitement about the Premier League, and a lot of cards, a lot of money went towards those cards instead of the others. And so we didn't get rich. But one thing that I will always remember, and Pap said it to me years ago, it's SoRare Pity, P-I-T-T-I, on Twitter, was that before they got the Prem, every single card on the platform had a premium built into it based on the Prem. That as long as you were here before the Prem, part of your card was worth more because when the Prem came, when they got the Premier League, all the card prices would go up because we'd be able to sell them all to all of these new Prem people who surely would want our Hans van Aken cards. And it just didn't happen. And Laney's right. It was a long time ago. And so it just, yeah, that didn't happen. But like, we need to stop bitching about it too. Not saying Laney was bitching about it, but just like people who are complaining about the Prem not working. Like there are so many more people on the platform now because of the Premier League that saying that bringing on the Prem was a mistake is wild. Rikamon said, I've won more money since the update, so I guess I'm on the good side. Well, way to be. Chani said, I will never understand people hating on reward boxes. That's because you're a content creator, Chani, and you get all of the stuff that they want or something. Oh, this new thing that didn't exist a while ago that gives you stuff for free sucks. Okay, then. Yeah, I don't actually look at it as like free stuff because they build these as like rewards. You earned this. But I do think it's weird to complain about them. Like, should they have more stuff? Yeah, sure. But like, they're not going to give everybody a signed Messi jersey, you know, like, come on. Shaforko said, well, I agree it may be hard to sell the same in NBA, but that is why there's in season to win cash. As long as I'm not complaining. Well, yeah, it's the same model. They have the same, yeah. JVic said, my friend won on Rivals a J-League card and a champ DNP with Euro 2024 utility. Now he has full champ contender in Euro teams. Let's go, JVic's friend. I hope they used your referral code. SR Monkey said, I'm actually starting to enjoy the new SoRare. The UI improves all the time. Major NFT said, my friends are Rivals only players. That's okay. Like, it's okay. Like, let them play as much as they want. And maybe at some point they'll buy a card. But as long as they keep playing, they're like still into SoRare. Like, that's better than them playing Rivals and being like, this is stupid. SR Monkey said, probably it helps that this is already my most successful month in the last 8 or 9 months. Yeah, that always helps. Yeah, for now. Major NFT said, I just wish Rivals rewards were more than cards rather than tickets. It would help. You can win tickets right now. Dortmund, PSG, and the Champions League. Apparently, that's a bad thing. Jakob said, Rivals is fun and we just need a good carrot to chase. In my opinion, it's very easy for So Rare to make Rivals great again. So it's okay to do something because you think it's fun. Like, you don't have to like get something every time you do something that's fun. But I agree. I think they have plenty of stuff that they there are lots of opportunities within Rivals to make it a more rewarding experience for existing users. But I don't think that's who they need to play Rivals. Like, they need us to play Rivals now to like make sure it works. We're like we're not really like beta testers. They did that already. But if Rivals is an onboarding tool, we're already onboarded. We don't need to play Rivals. And if you want to play Rivals because it's fun, that's okay. That's coming from somebody who now has 145 arena tickets. But actually, I don't know if it's that many. Oh, it's exactly 145. Let's go. Did I even put a thumbs up? Carol said it took me roughly 1 year from getting my first card to entering my first rare comp outside of 220 last weekend's game week. Congratulations, Carol. Yeah, it takes a while. Like, So Rare takes a while. And I think some people get thrown off because they think that they somehow accumulated their whole gallery in like 2 weeks. And they're just like, yeah, why don't we have more people like this? And it's like, it doesn't work that way. Agent Cooper said, maybe So Rare will come up with something even better than Rivals. Who knows? I'm excited to see if they introduce any fun and exciting side games for next season, both for new and existing users. I can't, to be honest, I don't see them creating any sort of new product. Like, it almost seems irresponsible because Rivals doesn't feel done yet, but I don't think additional side games are coming. Javik said they basically started selling Rivals tickets now with a win in auction daily mission. Very smart. Is that what, do they have a win on auction and you get a... Mine are buy a card through auctions or instant buy for 3 arena tickets. There they are, right there. As you see, I have 145. So I don't really, like, I get Rivals. I just don't think of it. And so, yeah. I realize I'm like 10 minutes back on the chat, so I apologize here. Skosma said, I don't really have strong opinions on Rivals. Is a cool concept. I got bored fast as it wasn't developed and not tracking it anymore. I'd like to have the private leagues to invite friends. So I do think private leagues for Rivals is a good idea. And I think they should. Yeah, I think they should do that. Tuggy, what's up? Malky said the bottom is usually a bit before the end of the season. People try to preempt the end of season sell-off. Yeah, I mean, it's now. This is what we see it. Oh, and yeah, now, yeah. Sora Malta says, I can confirm I have 40 different cards with the name Kim in my gallery. Little K-League special. Let's see. Mike said the cycle does seem to start a little earlier each year. I think you're right. And I wonder if, I can't decide if the new season requirements for cash contests will speed it up or not. But I do think that the end of season, like now, well, I guess it's a little late, but like if you bought new season cards like a month ago for the cash competitions, and obviously the prices have gotten significantly lower, I wonder if that's actually like the ideal time to buy. Obviously you miss like most of the season, but like most of the people are playing then and obviously paid more for those cards. I don't know. My spending on new season cards to play cash competitions was very limited this year. And I don't know how I'll feel in the future, but we'll see. Stefania. Malky said maybe users are getting a little smarter and more experienced. Maybe. Mike said the Prem ruined me. Yeah. Tuggy said, I mean, when the bar is on the ground, yeah, it's easy to make Rivals better. I don't think it's on the ground. it's a very engaging game for those who like that kind of game. And obviously there were people who played a ton of it early on because they comically convinced themselves they would be able to win star rares at some point, but they liked the game. Like, it's an enjoyable game for a lot of people. Some people are just more motivated by rewards than fun, which, whatever, that's fine. But like, you can't tell me the game used to be fun and is not fun now, because the game's really not that much different. It's just that your expectations in terms of rewards are changed, which I guess you could argue is part of the fun, but I don't know. Major NFT said, I would get folks deeper, I think, if they won cards as opposed to more arena tickets. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Mike's asking why I still collect arena tickets. It's because I'm one of those people that like can't stand having a notification unread. Like, my email inbox is always zero. Actually, I have one right now. Let me get rid of that. And so like the whole thing that's there that I have one, I'm just like, all right, let me go get it. Arena ticket collection bonus. Now we're talking, Malky. What's funny is I won 30 once. Like, I think I won 10 in a row, 8 in a row, 7 in a row. And I won 30. And I'm like, oh, this is good for life. And now I have 95 more. Braden, what's up? Howdy. One thing I don't like about Rivals is that sometimes it's hard to see what's at stake for this special random Rivals competitions. I think they've gotten better at it, though. Yeah. I agree. On both of those, it's difficult to see what you're playing for, and it's gotten better. LMT also remembers the days we just needed the Prem to get rich. Tuggy said it's such a lazy experience. Spending three tickets to win three tickets is a zero-sum game. That just feels like a chore, not a game. Why do you have to spend three tickets? Oh, to win three. I got it. To win three more. Yeah, no, I get it. I think the... Javik said, is that one email in your inbox from So Rare to inform you that you won a limited Mbappe from Rivals? It is not. No, I get that, Tuggy. I get that. And maybe the Rivals experience is different for me because I've always had like a gross excess of tickets. And so like, I remember Gator Guy, like I remember at one point he was like sweating his arena matches because he like was running out of tickets, and he's like, I want to keep playing and now I can't. And that actually killed it for him. And it, again, I think they've gotten better at it. That's all. Tuggy said, also, when I play a rare or super and it's only worth two more points than a limited. Yeah, I think they could fix that up as well. But again, I don't know. Like, I play Rivals matches now, like whenever I know I have cards in, but I don't even do that. Major NST said, have they ever done MLS tickets as a reward? I don't recall. Cannot afford to travel to Europe for free game tickets. I don't know what if they've given out game tickets in Rivals for MLS, or excuse me, in Rivals at all. But I'm fairly certain that they have MLS tickets to every game. Like they could, but again, I don't know. I'm kind of under the impression that their MLS relationship is very good, and so that they may be able to do game tickets, but yeah, I don't know. Shaforkle, thanks for the kind words. Sipping wisdom today like Confucius on his best time. Yeah, that's, I'm not sure I've ever been compared to Confucius, which is nice. Agent Cooper says, sometimes I feel like when you're on a bad run of luck with injuries or bad SO5 scores, you do start to feel So Rare is against you, but nothing beats the rush of seeing all five guys in one lineup smash. Yeah. We all go through dry spells in So Rare, except Pranksy, and it's just part of the game. Like, it really is. And it's kind of the part of every game. Like, this idea that you can win every week and it'll always be great and you'll never have a DNP and none of your players will ever get hurt. Like, it just doesn't. So, oh, and frankly, going back to the insanity thing, or knowing if you're insane,
my strategy of multiple cards, multiple of the same player and different scarcities and playing them. Like I have like the downside is that I have like four guys that I own in every scarcity that are hurt right now. And so I just can't play them. They'd be literally be in the same lineup. Major NFT said, when my SO5 is going bad, I get the condolences of rivals, zero DNPs. That's a good one. JVIC said, Sora and the States guys had some MLS ticket giveaways. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wonder if I can do that. Should I try to do that? Get some tickets from Sora to give away? Yeah. Rikamon said, I can't wait for the DNP sub talk again now that Hallen and KDB might be out. Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. When subs. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I don't know if Rivals is like, who even leads in Rivals now? How do we even find out? Like, who's at the top? Has anybody gotten to 1,000 yet? Do I really still have to like go to my club and where do I go? My club, view leaderboard, top 100. All right. Tugs, 885, not to be confused with Tuggy. And the person who is in first has 86 limited cards. Do you think they're, that's an auction. Oh, there's some old ones though. So I don't know if they actually, well, actually we can see if they play. Thanks to the blockchain. I'm just kidding. It's just an API. Oh, so they do. So when did they join? February. Oh, so they've been around for a while. But they play. And they're first in Rivals. I don't know who these other people are. Let's see. Does this person have any cards? 15 limiteds? Gosh, that is a lot of Rivals games. Whew, God bless them. So, again, I don't think it matters if these people are playing a ton of So Rare. Here, Loco 94. You look like you have a bunch of cards. 14 Super Rares. Got a Gnabry. Look at this. It's a Bayern stacker. Isn't this exactly who we want doing this? See? Everything's fine. Anyway. Mike said, my insanity is enjoying when all players in the same team have a shitter after the first player has screwed it up. That makes you feel so good. Like if your first player DNPs and then you just get four yellow scores and you're like, oh, thank God. Only problem is Agent Cooper is my dry spell is like the Gobi Desert right now, but I'm optimistic for next season. Buying some cheap rare La Liga goalkeepers this week to use for the next few weeks and prep for August. Yeah, see, it's always something to do. Sora Malta, love seeing the goat Ki Sung Yang on Sora Data's homepage. Yeah, you're right. You know what's funny? I didn't even design that. But yeah, he's the goat, all right. Look at him. Anyway. Ninth place is the highest with no cards. And like, I think that's okay. But they've been around since 2019. That's wild. Why? Wait a minute. Ninth place. Why do you even know that too? Wow. 12, 20. So this guy, Matty Tass. Is it not coming up? Matt, why? Huh, that's weird. Did they never? Can you look back at like some of these? Oh, is it a space maybe? Huh, I don't know why we can't pull them up. I don't know. Sean's secret rivals account, yeah. Vita got an alert for Golovin. Is it Golovin or Golovin? Anyway, €70 can't decide whether to buy it or not. I mean, the answer is always yes. It also might be €50 in 2 weeks. In his pro history, he's won 10 limiteds. See pro history. But I can't actually see. Since they haven't submitted a lineup. I don't know why. Vita, any idea why this user doesn't show up? Golovin out for the season. Oh, yeah, see? It'll be €50 soon. I'm actually quite interested in this guy now. Matt. Here we go. Imagine joining in 2019 and never. Yeah, see, they had cards. Sold out a bit 8 months ago, 11 months. So they. Little multi account maybe with this guy. We're doing some forensics now. Looks like they're sending all of their cards to this player. Anyway. I guess we could see exactly what cards they've won. That's it. Yeah, kickoff, Bundesliga. Lanny, Laird, do you have an opinion on Stocks FC? I don't know. I know it exists. I kind of know how it works, but I'm not involved at all, and I haven't seen anything that makes me want to get involved. Nothing against the game itself, but I play so rare. That's all. That takes up way. I know Stocks is more like a much more passive game, but it's just not what I'm looking for. I don't find the concept that interesting. All right, Surface is going to take us away from SoRare for a second. I got nothing to do, so I can hang out for however long. What would your ideal job be if SoRare never existed? So I had my ideal job before SoRare Data, and it was awesome. I worked for RotoWire, which is a fantasy sports content site. I started doing NFL, and then I did college basketball. I did some hockey, and then I took over I took over their soccer stuff for a number of years, and I absolutely loved it. I was basically like the head of, what was my title there? Head of soccer content or something like that. Do I have one over here? Oh, I thought I had I found some old business cards the other day. But I wrote a bunch of stuff on soccer and NFL, and it was awesome. That was such a great job. And coming in and working at SoRare Data was the only job I would have left RotoWire for, and it happened to come up. And Agent Cooper, I did a ton of lineup projections at RotoWire, like a ton. And so, yeah, that's a terrible part of the job when you're wrong. That's hard, but any job that I would have would have to be somehow involved in sports. I went back to school and got a master's degree in sports business. And so when I started that degree, I knew I wanted to work in sports. And so the RotoWire thing actually had nothing to do with my degree. And while I don't think it was a total waste of money, I probably could have not done it and ended up, I don't know if that's true. There were a lot of things that I learned in school, getting that sports business master's, that I think have allowed me to look at So Rare in a number of different ways, because I understand how businesses that rely on sport work. And I was actually borderline offended at the Make It a Double Double that I was listening to the other day. And maybe it was also Sean too, this whole like people like crapping on higher education. And I'm just somebody who I just completely disagree. I think the cost of higher education, at least in the US, I don't know how it is in other countries, but the cost of higher education in the US is absurd and like beyond absurd. But to say that it's worthless, like it may be worthless for some people, but I was a history major when I was at university, as everybody in Europe would call it. And the skills that I learned studying history are relevant to what I do today, which you would think shouldn't at all. But there are skills and learning how to tackle certain situations that you learn in school that you may not necessarily know how to do otherwise. And so, yeah, I'm a big proponent of education. And so when I decided to change careers, like I was in finance after that, when I decided to change careers, I thought getting a degree, another degree in that field would help me. And I think it did. It didn't necessarily help me get a job, but I think what I learned in business school, although I don't think it definitely wasn't through their business school, but what I learned about sports business while getting my master's, it was invaluable. And allows me to look at like So Rare, which is kind of a humongous, economy in itself, is allowed me that. And you're exactly right. That's why Larry's college fund is in So Rare. Lanny, NFL on So Rare, yay or nay? It's not nay. They're not going to get it. DraftKings won't give it up. And I don't think So Rare needs the NFL. I think there was a time where So Rare thought they would have every sport, and maybe that's still in their long-term plan, but I see no benefit in them adding sports now. Ian Cooper said, is soccer visibly growing in the U.S. culture? Do you find that you're in a tiny minority in the States working a job primarily focused on soccer? I feel like everyone in the U.S. is into NFL and NBA. Football is definitely growing in the U.S., like absolutely. The World Cup in 2026 will have a major impact. Every league that is televised here is, I don't want to say is successful, but like there, it's easy for, like I can watch every Premier League match, every MLS match, multiple matches in Belgium and the Netherlands and, one football is kind of international, but there are like domestic channels here on TV, even if they're just streaming ESPN, that televise football matches from all over the world. And they wouldn't do that if there wasn't a market. And so it's growing, but it's still very small that when people like find out what I do for work, which is a really long conversation in itself, but the soccer part of it, everyone's like, oh, cool. And every so often I'll find somebody who's like obviously into football and that gets it going. But it's certainly growing. Absolutely. Mike said, how is MLS's popularity now compared to women's game over there? The women's game is still, it's one of those, like it's growing also, but it's also very limited in terms of media coverage, and it's kind of a chicken or the egg. I think more people would be interested in it if there was more coverage, but there's not more coverage because people aren't interested in it. It's an unfortunate kind of predicament that they're in, but there is more women's football on television now than ever before. And so if you were somebody who wanted to get into it, it's easier now. It's not easy, but it's easier. Lainey said, soccer is growing massively. All the 1994 World Cup parents have children growing up with soccer. Yeah, I mean, my kids play. And like Larry's addicted to football. So, yeah, 73,000 people at the Sporting Kansas City intermessy game. Service said, feels like soccer is slowly but steadily growing in the U.S. despite the regular unenforced errors the MLS is constantly making. I don't know if they're making regular unforced errors. They literally brought in the most popular player in the entire world, or at least the best one. That seems like a good thing to me. Aaron said, higher education here in England is around 10K a year. So it's like 10 times that in the US for like our prestigious universities, which is absurd. Absurd. San Diego FC opening a legit academy. Yeah, they're launching an MLS next year. So Agent Cooper said, I think it's really cool that you probably wouldn't have discovered or learned so much about weird European football culture without SoRare or SoRare data, your love of Midtjylland being a prime example. So like 0% chance that I would know anything about Midtjylland other than SoRare and SoRare data. The only small part that I would know is like when they qualify for the Champions League and when they played, whenever they got destroyed by somebody in the Champions League a couple years ago, I wrote about from a DraftKings, they call it soccer perspective. And I don't even remember who they played, but it was like, oh, they're playing Midtjylland. Go get all of those guys. So Ramalta said, I have fond memories of Landon Donovan's loans at Everton. I love that guy. Yeah. I think he has very fond memories of it too. And speaking of San Diego, isn't he part of the San Diego group, or is he part of the existing San Diego team and not the new San Diego FC? I don't remember. And I believe the San Diego women's team is the favorite to win the league this year. I think I saw that on the internet the other day. So yeah, Surface, I hope that answers your question. I've been very fortunate with my working situations over the past nearly 20 years, 10 years, 15 years. Yeah, he was with the Loyal. Yeah. Agent Cooper said, I'm always impressed by how many players you know and who they play for almost immediately, especially without watching that much live football. I don't really know that much about football. And I don't really know that many players. And so I know like my players, and maybe a few of the ones that my friends have, but my football knowledge is actually quite, quite limited. Server said, bringing in Messi was a great coup for MLS. That is true, but horrible start times, late start times, bad reffing, pitch variations, et cetera, haven't helped. So bad reffing is everywhere. I mean, people are complaining about the Champions League, UEFA Champions League bad refereeing. So that's never like, that's not an MLS problem. The horrible start times are the same start times that they have everywhere else. It's just local. Like we're used to this great, like when you're in the US, watching European football is awesome because it's on like all day. And then like at night, it's like MLS and they're all at the same time. Like that's the Premier League has like a huge block of games at the same time. And so, and the late start times, MLS is never late. They just don't tell us when the games are starting, but they're on time all the time. Lenny said the biggest holdback for U.S. soccer is the cost. To play club soccer here in Kansas City, you're looking at $3,000 a year. Club soccer is an absolute racket. It's the number of players in the United States, like youth players in the United States, who will go completely unnoticed because they can't afford to play for one of these elite teams is astonishing and disappointing, and it's awful. It is legitimately awful. When SoRare Data MLS preview show on Apple TV. Yeah. So funny thing, I don't know anything about MLS. It's like, there are probably 5 or 6 leagues that I know more about than Major League Soccer. I just never really got into it. And, when Service is talking about start times, like I'm much more likely to watch a Premier League match at 7 a.m. than I am an MLS match at 7 p.m. And so I just don't follow MLS that much. I tried to get into New York City FC.
I've gone to a few games and I do enjoy them. The team is terrible now. They need a new manager. But I'm just not like, I'm an American, yes, but like I watch way more non-American football than I don't watch MLS. Yeah. Agent Cooper said the ref in the Villa Lille was one of the worst I've ever seen. He was the definition of a power mad ref, wanted to make the game about him. So glad Villa made it through. Yeah. Major NFT said soccer is more popular than hockey in Canada in terms of kids playing. That's wild. I just saw what time it was and realized I need to set baseball lineups. Oh, we got it. 54 minutes. Eh, plenty of time. But don't let me forget my baseball lineups. I think I have an alarm set. Yeah, I do. So yeah, it's that's the long-winded job answer. And Agent Cooper, to go back to your, I don't watch a lot of live football. I watch a ton of live football. It's just not professional. Server said, MLS isn't bad at all, but most people in the US watch non-MLS soccer primarily, in my opinion. So Liga MX is the most most popular league in the United States from a television viewer perspective. And I believe MLS is still ahead of the Premier League, but I don't know. But again, we can watch here in the US, like I can watch more Premier League than people in the UK. And that's generally what I watch. And then I'll watch OB right today and whenever Midtjylland's on Friday. I just don't watch a lot of football on the weekend on TV. I'm out. I got a life. That's why I don't want late swap. I got stuff to do. you guys got anything else before we go? It's been an hour and 17 minutes, which is like a lot longer than I usually go. But like I said, I got nothing to do today. And sometimes we just hang out a little longer. What was I just about to say after that? I don't know. Mike Batson said, I bet the Liga MX viewing figures in North Dakota are huge. I mean, North Dakota is closer to Mexico than where I am. So you never know, Mike. You never know. Yeah. But if you guys got nothing else, like I can go. I'm cool. I got baseball lineups to do. And yeah. So we'll just cut it off. Maybe next week we'll do an AMA. I don't really feel like starting one now at 78 minutes in, but that's what Fridays are for. So yeah, next week, let's see what we got. Monday is the game week preview, obviously, and we'll have something with Sean on later in the day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, Thursday will be Sower Andrews. I think I am trying to get Surfila back on to talk about a little bit of what I've been talking about, but in a much more sane manner. Surfiel is always much more sane. So I got to lock that down, speaking of which. So yeah, let's do it. Thank you to everybody for coming. If you could like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny. Tuggy said next week on Friday should be a special show. I have a feeling. Like it will be a special show? What's next Friday? Or are we just saying that now? And I'm like looking on my calendar. What's next Friday? I got nothing. All right. You just have a feeling. Yes. All right. Cool. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks everyone for coming. Please like the stream. I will say that everybody who watches this show is really good at liking the stream. And I really appreciate that. So if you could just keep doing that, just to boost my ego a little bit, that's really nice. So thank you. Good luck with all your lineups this week. May the DNP gods, is it a DNP god? Do you want them on your side or do you not want them on your side? I hope you don't get any DNPs. And I hope we're here next Friday and being like, hey, remember when you mentioned that we're all going to be on the podium or we're all going to win all this stuff? And I'll be like, yeah, I do. And so let's just do that. Let's just all win this week. And just like Agent Cooper, you could even like the bad streams. And Agent Cooper, if you want to tell me which one the bad ones are, I'm always open for that feedback. Or any feedback that anyone has, always appreciate it. Anyway, thank you for coming and good luck this weekend.